Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Very exciting. It's Clay Day today. It literally is.
This Clay?
It
no, literally I know. Is. No, but I'm saying.
It literally is. And I don't know why you're disrespecting the Hall of Famer.
I'm not disrespecting.
You're very,
I'm not disrespecting.
You're doing the thing. Do you get influenced by Frog Boy? What's your deal?
Did he tell you to do this?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Not at all. You jonesing for preseason football?
No.
Well, this is an exciting day.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like you.
I mean, are we happy to have Clay because it's Clay?
Yeah.
Or, like, yeah.
You want me to break down Sweden, Finland?
No. Oh, God. No. Oh, yeah. God. No.
You have two choices.
Clay Day. I'm not trying to like rain on nobody's parade, but what I'm saying is that at what point in a person's career are we not supposed to look at them as Clay the Splash Brother and Clay the Contributor?
Somewhere between Clay Thompson and Paul George. Paul George is the bad side, Clay Thompson's the good side.
Oh, okay. Like but you know what I mean? Like we keep like, so there's LeBron. Like, everybody in the league, LeBron.
You just said his name like that, though. Like, it could have been like, LeBron, you know? I could have done that. No, but that's how you
why?
Do,
but he's still, like.
You're just doing tone.
But with LeBron, everybody still thinks he could contribute, right?
Clay had 200 threes last year. Let me get to our guests. We're good. We're quibbling.
All right.
Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sharon. Toyota of Hollywood on... and go to toyotaofhollywood.com, and there we'll find the host of Locked On Heat, Locked On NBA Daily, and that is our friend Wes Goldberg. What's going on, Wes? How are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's happening?
Ready for Clay Day.
Ready for Clay Day, right? Well, all right, let's settle the – so is this what's the excitement level that today should be? Is it like a 7? Is it a 10? Where do you think that today ranks amongst the off-season days?
Yeah, if I guess 10 is a Giannis, then I think this is an 8, right? I
mean, that Clay is that high?
That, you know, we're not talking about how they compare as players, right?
No,
if Giannis is a 10, Clay is probably like a 4 at this point of his career. But in terms of excitement, Clay Thompson, very decorated, awesome personality. Look, he's not getting the full Giannis treatment. We're not doing the press conference on the basketball court. It's back in the interview room where most of these things are done, but. It's still Clay Thompson, right? This is a legend. This is a future Hall of Famer first ballot. And guys, I'm telling you, I think Heat fans are going to love this guy. He's a great personality. We are going to laugh at this press conference today. And he's obviously a perfect fit for this team. I mean, this is a front office that is clearly going all in with Giannis in a way that we haven't really seen them go all in before in a very long time.
Were you surprised at the money he gave up? Because it seemed like the way that he were moving, they were confident this could happen, but you never know. It wasn't really in their control. They had to make sure the Mavericks would bend to the whim and all that. So what did you make of, I guess, the fallout, how it happened, the money that he took and all that?
I'm always surprised when players give up money. I'm just, as a rule, I even while we were covering this Klay Thompson stuff at Locked On Heat, I was saying, like, look, I'll believe that he gives up a bunch of money to get the buyout when I see it. And it's not to say that I didn't think it would happen. Frankly, I did think it was going to happen because all the signs were pointing in that direction. And the Heat were very confident that this was going to happen. But you just, I can't count somebody else's money. I have no idea what they're going to do with it and how they're going to behave. But the fact that he gave up almost $10 million to accept a buyout out of Dallas and then took what was initially reported as a $6-plus million deal in this first year of a two-year deal with a player option on that second year. And then he clears waivers on Sunday at 5 p.m. And everybody, I know, Tobin, you were doing the same thing I was, waiting for that tweet. You know, it's 5 o'clock, he cleared waivers. When are we getting the official thing? When are we getting the official? 5 hours later, almost, it was like 9:50 p.m., we get the official tweet. And then we get the report that he actually took almost $1 million less than what was initially reported. That was not a reporting mistake. That was the Miami Heat in those 5 hours since he cleared waivers actually talking him down and trying to explain the fact that, hey, if you actually take a little bit less than what you're already agreeing to take, where you were already agreeing to take less than what you were going to be making in Dallas, we can actually sign two players on this roster before opening night instead of just one player. And Klay Thompson in that live stream a couple weeks ago talked about how he wanted to play a role for a team that can make a deep playoff run, that he just wants to essentially play in games that matter again. He wants to feel alive again, which he obviously was not feeling alive in Dallas after they traded Luka. And the fact that he put his money where his mouth is, like, I think that gets so much respect. I think that's so deserving of respect. The fact that he said, you know what, I'm willing to give up the money. I've made a bunch of money. I've accomplished a lot. I just want to play in games that matter. Because most players will say that, as we know. I want to win. But most, like, the unsaid part of that is, I want to win, but also I want to get paid all of the money that is coming to me. Klay is willingly putting money on the table for the betterment of a team that, frankly, he owes nothing to. He owes nothing to this Heat organization. But he thinks, okay, this is the best way for me to play on a team that matters again. So I was surprised by all of it, but obviously, you know, very optimistic about the way it all played out.
So what do you think about from his standpoint? I would assume that this means he's probably going to start, but what do you think this kind of does for the depth of Miami now? Like, Hardaway was such a big priority for them in the offseason. I'd imagine now he's kind of going to that six man or kind of add with both of them at the same time. But what do you think this kind of does as the hierarchy of the team now adding him into the fold?
Yeah, I think this is the super underrated part of the Klay Thompson signing, because the Heat had two major issues prior to getting Klay. It was spacing and depth. And I think with one signing, they kind of addressed both in a very meaningful way, because all of a sudden Tim Hardaway Jr. goes from overtaxed as a starting two guard to going back to what he was last year as a six-man of the year finalist, right? He finished right behind Jaime Hackers Jr. and Keldon Johnson.
Spurs?
Yeah, thank you.
Close, though. I mean, I do understand how the Keyshawn one got you.
Yeah. It's a tough one. So you now all of a sudden he goes from overtaxed as a starter to back to one of the best six men in the league. You've got him and Bobby Portis coming off your bench. Those are two proven depth pieces. And then we have Pelle Larsen, who we all know here is a very good player. I don't think, you know, nationally he's recognized as that, but he will be after this season. 25 national TV games. People are going to see Pelle Larsen do more than just get hit in the face here. So I do think, like, this is suddenly a team that has the spacing that it needed, because now you have one of Klay and Hardaway on the court at all times, I think, ideally. And then you have, I think, three really good pieces coming off your bench. And again, two roster spots still to fill. Like, the Heat are not done yet.
You think Jovic is the X factor, like the wild card, that he comes in and he starts playing well and we're like, look at this team now.
Call him by his new name. Serbian Bam.
-1.
He's stopping Wembanyama. I mean, that's two games in a row, Wes.
I don't even know if Bam's done that.
Exactly.
Wes, can we need a group session to talk this man off the ledge? He brags about coming and watching Eurobasket, World Cup friendlies.
It was a great game, dude. I mean, it was a great time.
It was a great game.
Wes, when have you ever watched a World Cup friendly that didn't involve the U.S.?
I'm watching World Cup friendlies. It's on the TV.
It's great.
But that's it's part of the job.
You don't become the host of NBA, Locked On NBA Daily without daily checking in on two of the best players in the world facing off. And the unfortunate thing is, he tuned in thinking Joker was the best player, but actually, Jovic was the one who shut down Wemby.
Again.
Yeah, you know who's getting back on defense? Was Jovic.
Exactly, dude.
So, with that being said, is Jovic going to probably make the biggest impact? Because I don't think anybody's expecting anything.
I don't know. I hope so. But look, if there was like an off season that laid the groundwork for our bounce back season, it would look like this, right? With a really promising showing overseas right now, with the fact that they acquired Giannis, who's going to make his job so much easier. I mean, so much easier. If Nico can really just embrace the point fiving, which is what, you know, coaches call it when you make a decision in half a second, dribble, shoot, or pass in half a second, make that decision. Don't take your time with the ball. Don't mess with it. Just make a quick decision and move. If he can really embrace that playing next to Giannis, I think he's in for a real bounce back year. I don't know that I would call him the X factor, because if he doesn't play well, they always have Bobby Portis, who basically just does all these things at a proven level already. Yeah. To me, I think the X factor is actually Davion Mitchell, because he's a guy, if he takes a leap as a playmaker here, running, you know, pick and roll with Giannis and Bam and stuff like that, that's a position that goes from overlooked to all of a sudden, oh, wait, the Miami Heat have one of the better two-way point guards in the league, one of the few point guards in the league who can guard his position at an elite level. And if he can really, I mean, we're already seeing Davion every day posting Instagram videos, running, you know, screen and roll actions with some of these big men. If he can really turn that into something and unlock Giannis and Bam in the half court specifically, that to me would be the biggest X factor for the Heat this season.
I think that's where they struggled last year. Like, it was fun when they ran and ran and ran, and then when it kind of got tired and start giving up a boatload of points, and it went to the half court, they struggled, which was weird for a Heat basketball team to struggle in half court.
They haven't really had a great half court offense since LeBron James left. I mean, if you really look at the numbers just in the half court, there was a couple of years of Goran Dragic, and then we had the 7-11 year with Dragic and Waiters, which was kind of weirdly a really good half court offense team. But
what a time.
And now we're here, guys. Now we have Giannis. It took a minute, but now we're back.
Do you feel like that offense, do you think they're going to bring that back this year, the no pick and rolls type of thing? Because it kind of felt like by the end of the year, it didn't feel like a lot of the players loved it. But, you know, I get, you know, Giannis could kind of flourish in something like that. Do you feel like that's something they'll go back to this year?
I think they're going to bring back elements of it. But I like to remind people, Eric Spoelstra implemented that system not because he has some sort of irrational hatred of pick and roll. He brought the system in because he thought it was a gimmick. It was the last way that we could actually juice an offense that had been in the bottom 10 in offensive rating for 5 straight years. And he was like, okay, everything else isn't working. The Heat did not have a great pick and roll ball handler. Like, who in that team was operating out of pick and roll? Like, nobody was good at it. And so he's like, well, if we're not going to be good at it, then why are we going to run it? So he ran this gimmick offense last year. It worked for a little bit. It didn't, you know, I actually do think it worked just because they didn't finish in the top 10 in offensive rating. They ended up finishing outside of the bottom 10, which to me is a successful year. I think they maxed it out. But I do think you want to bring elements in terms of the strategic running off of rebounds. I think that's huge for this team. It's going to be huge for Giannis, obviously. I think you're going to bring back a lot of the off-ball movement and the spacing principles in terms of constant movement around the arc. But you're going to run pick and roll. I can guarantee you we will see a lot more pick and roll this year than we did last year, because in part, that's what Giannis wants to do, and that's what Bam wants to do. Bam wants to set a really hard screen on the perimeter and then step into a free throw line jumper. Davion Mitchell and everybody else that he's going to have to play with is going to have to nail that pocket pass to Bam. Giannis, on the other hand, does not set hard screens. He doesn't want to. He wants to set kind of a ghost screen at the top, slip really quick, and then start running to the basket. And they're going to have to, whoever's running pick and roll with Giannis is going to have to get used to that, because it's a very different kind of rhythm than the one with Bam. That to me is the thing that could take a little bit of time at the beginning of the year to get used to.
The timing might be a little bit off simply because he's going to be a lot farther than you expect.
It's all the timing, right? But as soon as they get that timing down, then I think they're cooking with gas.
So you mentioned about the contract to Klay Thompson. So this leaves them some flexibility. What intrigues you? What do you think they should do with those last roster spots? Do you think they use them both? What is the most, I guess, useful thing that's still out there that they could get?
I do think they end up using them both. I don't know that both players that they signed to these two contracts will have guaranteed contracts. We'll see. I guess that kind of comes down to the negotiations part of it. Nick Richards has the inside track, right? He's around the Miami Heat facility. I do think that there's some mutual interest there. I don't think, to me, don't get cute with these moves. Like, these are guys that are not going to be part of your every night rotation. These are going to be break glass in case of emergencies. Think about where this team needs bodies right now. They need another center on the roster. I think they know that. So go get Nick Richards. And if it's not Richards, just somebody. I really don't care who it is. And then probably another ball handler, I would think. Because if Davion Mitchell gets hurt and if Drew Smith gets hurt again, this team is all of a sudden very, very short on guys who could just bring the ball up and get them into their offense. So I would probably go with those two spots. It's very tempting to get cute. Like, I floated the idea on Locked On Heat. Like, couldn't you call Chris Paul and talk him out of retirement?
Ooh.
Like, could you do something like that? Could you go after, like, a Jonathan Kuminga and say, like, hey, we're kind of short on youth. Maybe we make a talent play even though there's not an obvious need for him. I don't think you get cute. Just get a couple of bodies. Dudes who are going to be okay not playing every single night, but who will be there and, you know, can be professional and be available.
If you play for the Miami Heat, you're going to be part of an eight-man rotation because everybody's hurt for at least five or six games during the course of a year.
And Spo actually does a good job of, like, hey, if you've had a good week, you know, in film and in walkthroughs and stuff, like, I'll get you some minutes in January, February, March. Like, he'll do that kind of thing, too.
Chris Paul does that would be fun, but I feel like he's a pain in everybody's ass.
What?
It would be.
Chris Paul, listen.
Names are fun.
I love Chris Paul, but Chris Paul can't be on your roster. He's a grumpy old man.
Why not? Every roster needs a curmudgeon.
One little point there, Davion Mitchell admires Chris Paul. They have had dinner before in the past, and Chris Paul has sort of taught Davion Mitchell some of
like
the things.
This.
It would be kind of cool to get CP3 in the building and just be like, hey, your job is to mentor Davion Mitchell.
Right, right.
Make him a coach then.
Make him a coach. Isn't he going to go like run the Lakers or something like that? I thought like the new Lakers owner is like close with him. Something like that. But I kind of like this. I mean, it's off the wall. It's not D'Angelo Russell. I like this. I'm for this.
It is not D'Angelo Russell. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So you're doing some stuff with the Dolphins now, man. What do you got going on with Locked On and the Dolphins?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So we already have. I host Locked On Heat, which is a daily podcast, 30 minutes every day, Monday through Friday, post game shows, and we already have a Dolphins show that does that too. Kyle Krabs does a great job. He's on the Joe Rose show all the time, but. We recently expanded to do these short kind of content bursts, like little 5-minute videos on YouTube and then like 60-second shorts on, you know, the places where those lists live. And so I'm doing that. So I'm less Dolphins podcaster and maybe more Dolphins influencer, as cringe as that is.
Sounds
to say,
more fun.
That's sort of the, that's a sort fins, of the deal.
A finfluencer? Nah, fin-fluencer. I screwed it up. I'll take a minus one. Fin-fluencer. I apologize.
Why?
Workshop.
Why do you always...
Don't get mad at me.
By the way, Wes, every day. This is every day. He just...
I'm trying to find the bit.
He's shooting from half court with 5 seconds left.
What's the hottest Fins take you got right now? What is it? Do you like Halfley? Did Chris Bell beat signs? Like, what's the thing that you're just like, after 3 weeks of preseason practices, like, this is the thing that I'm really passionate about?
That's a good question, because it's hard to be passionate about this team because they played we have one 94-yard drive, I think is the greatest drive in Miami Dolphins history.
It was great. Very complete.
Like, the way that it's being talked about right now, if we just end the season now, we're like, look, that was pretty good. I think Cam Miller is better than Quinn Ewers. I don't know if that's a hot
take. Ooh, I like that. I liked him.
Yeah.
I thought he was I love the run, and I loved him.
I think it's more along the lines of how relaxed and comfortable a player looks playing a position, because then at that point we can teach him and he can improve. But if you're skittish in the pocket and you're awkward and you're uncomfortable, we got to get that out of you first before we even get you to like look downfield and do these things. And Quinn sometimes come across as being very skittish.
Well, Leroy, let me ask you, how much does it matter where how bad Cam was in that first game compared to being pretty average in that second game? That's a big improvement, to be horrible to average. Do coaches look at that and say, oh, well, this guy has a capacity for improvement within a week? Like that, I feel pretty good about being able to coach this guy for a season.
There's a couple of things that you learn when you take that next step up. One, the time that you have shrinks, right? And so every quarterback looks a little uneasy when they first get in there, whether it's preseason, whether it's whatever, because you're so used to doing it in practice where the guy does a drive-by, but he doesn't touch you. And then you get in the game and those same bodies are close and you're like, whoo, that was quick. So sometimes you get a little skittish. It's good to see that in the second week, he almost looked more relaxed. He was more aware of his clock and he knew when to take off, when to look for plays or whatever. The next step is, hey, don't just take off and run. Keep your eyes down the field. There's a lot of plays to be made when everybody leaves their guy to come tackle you because you've shown you can run. And some quarterbacks kind of move into that very smoothly. And others, like, how can I put it? It's the J.J. McCarthy thing, right? J.J. McCarthy looks like the prototypical quarterback. He drops back. He has the ball perfectly. He throws the ball well, but he can't play quarterback at this point. And some guys just naturally play the position, and then you work with all the other stuff. Cam looks like naturally he looks like he knows what's going on. Now we just got to speed up his clock, get him looking in the right spots. But I don't get that feeling with Quinn. Quinn still looks like he's trying to work on his footwork, get his arm, you know. And
very robotic.
Right, yeah. Right.
I like it, man. Great take. Wes Goldberg, go check out his work. Locked On Heat, Locked On Dolphins Hit, Locked On NBA.
You need help?
NBA Daily.
You need help with the football? You call me. I need help with the basketball and the clay questions? I'll call you.
Done deal.
All right.
As long as you admit it's clay day. We'll see you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Wes.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll take a break. Back after this.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best. Let's go! Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLBPlus.